Welcome to The Connection, where humans and aliens converse, and where all the dots are connected. I'm Nancy of Zeta Talk, an emissary for aliens from Zeta Reticuli. They are here to warn of great cataclysms on Earth and advise how to survive this. The pending pole shift is not the end. Man will make his next leap forward to live a better time when aliens will live among us. What is the New Madrid fault line, and why is it so much on the tips of tongues these days? The New Madrid fault line essentially follows the Mississippi River from Illinois to Arkansas. And I quote, "The New Madrid fault system, or the New Madrid seismic zone, is a series of faults beneath the continental crust in a weak spot known as the Real Foot Rift. It cannot be seen on the surface. The fault system extends 150 miles southward from Cairo, Illinois, through New Madrid and Crothersville, Missouri, down through Blytheville, Arkansas, to Marked Tree, Arkansas. It dips into Kentucky near Fulton and into Tennessee near Real Foot Lake, and extends southeast to Dyersville, Tennessee. It crosses 5 state lines and crosses the Mississippi River in at least 3 places." End of the quote. Seems like a local affair, but this is deceptive. Where quakes along the west coast of the U.S. cause a jolt in the underlying rock, the area surrounding the New Madrid is essentially mud, soil wet from the mighty Mississippi and Missouri and Tennessee and Ohio rivers, which join near the New Madrid fault line, and liquefaction thus affects a huge area. A quote on liquefaction. "The shock or repeated shock of earthquake waves can cause water-saturated soil to rearrange itself in such a way that it essentially becomes a suspension of solids in the liquid. Heavy structures on such areas can suddenly sink or shift. Buried objects can shift, and relatively low-density objects can float to the surface." End of the quote. The last great quakes on the New Madrid fault line occurred in the winter of 1811 to 1812, and I quote from the USGS website, "The 400 terrified residents in the town of New Madrid were abruptly awakened by violent shaking and a tremendous roar. It was December 16, 1811, and a powerful earthquake had just struck. This was the first of 3 magnitude 8 earthquakes, and thousands of aftershocks to rock the region that winter. Survivors reported that the earthquakes caused cracks to open in the earth's surface, the ground to roll in visible waves, and large areas of land to sink or rise. By winter's end, few houses within 250 miles of the Mississippi River town of New Madrid remained undamaged. The crew of the New Orleans, the first steamboat on the Mississippi, which was on her maiden voyage, reported mooring to an island only to awake in the morning and find that the island had disappeared below the waters of the Mississippi River. Damage was reported as far away as Charleston, South Carolina, and Washington, D.C. End of the quote. Just how far-ranging was the effect compared to a quake of similar Richter on the West Coast? And I quote again from the USGS website. "Earthquakes in the central eastern United States affect much larger areas than earthquakes of similar magnitude in the western United States. For example, the San Francisco, California earthquake of 1906, which was a magnitude 7.8, was felt 350 miles away in the middle of Nevada, whereas the New Madrid earthquake of December 1811, which was a magnitude 8, rang church bells in Boston, Massachusetts, 1,000 miles away. Differences in geology east and west of the Rocky Mountains cause this strong contrast. And more recently, earthquakes of similar magnitude, the 1895 Charleston, Missouri earthquake in the New Madrid seismic zone, and the 1994 Northridge, California earthquake showed similar effects. End of the quote from the USGS, and here's one from CNN. The quake in 1968, centered in southeastern Illinois near the confluence of the Tennessee and Ohio rivers, caused moderate damage, but it was felt across 23 states, as far as the Carolinas and into Canada. End of the quote from CNN. A map on the USGS website shows the relative extent of influence, which is far more dramatic than might be imagined. The 1994 6.7 Richter Northridge quake was felt throughout Southern California, barely reaching over the border into Nevada and Arizona and Mexico. The comparable 1895 Charleston, Missouri quake covered the eastern half of the U.S. Primarily affected, of course, were the states central to the New Madrid Fault Zone: Ohio, Kentucky, Tennessee, Arkansas, Missouri, Illinois, and Indiana. But the effect covered at least half of the states of Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania, Virginia, North and South Carolina, Georgia, Alabama, Mississippi, Louisiana, Oklahoma, Kansas, and Iowa, and crossed the border into the states of New York and Florida. But the seriousness of the situation is not described by the effects of quakes in 1811 and 1895, as going into the pole shift during the quakes preceding the pole shift, there is another aspect to the fault line adjustments. There is an earth torque caused by the twisting of the globe that Planet X causes when it tugs on the south pole of the Earth and the highly magnetized Atlantic Rift daily. And I quote from ZetaTalk, Torque Effect, written May 2004. By gripping the Atlantic Rift, the cause of the global quakes that have racked the Earth since 2003, Planet X is creating a slow continental drift. The Atlantic Rift is held back when it faces or is in opposition to Planet X, creating not only a pileup in the plates following the rift, but also tearing apart the rift by the momentum to the east. What is the effect on the plates on either side of the rift when a void is created? There is a slide into the void to the side experiencing a pileup, and thus the North American plate is dropping into the void, relieving the stress of compression along its northern border in the Arctic by a torque to the side as it does so. The overall effect of this drift, which will increase in speed and force, will be a torque. Hold the globe with the left hand on the North Pole and the right hand on the South Pole, the North Pole going in the direction of rotation, with the South Pole held back. The torque forces the North American plate down and into the Caribbean. End of the quote. Complicating the torque is the fact that the North American continent is held rigid at the top, where the plate boundary crosses through the Arctic from the Kamchatka Peninsula, just above Japan, in almost a straight line to Iceland in the Atlantic, east of Greenland. The North American plate, thus, cannot roll around to adjust to the stress of having the Atlantic widen and the Pacific shorten during the tugging Planet X does upon the Earth. Mexico wants to move westward faster than Alaska, but cannot without pulling the North American continent in a diagonal, a stress the Zetas call the North American Rift. This Zeta talk was written during a time when South Dakota, at the Black Hills, was showing an odd stress wobble once daily, a clear sign that this was a wobble induced by the tugging of Planet X. And I quote from Zeta talk, North American Rift, written February 2006. When Planet X arrived in the inner solar system and began seriously tugging at the highly magnetized Atlantic Rift, it accentuated the stretch on either side of the Atlantic. What went unstated during these discussions is why a stretch zone occurs. Look at South America on the large South American plate. As the Atlantic is pulled apart, the Pacific compressed, it is required to have the upper part migrate to the west more than the tip, which is anchored at Antarctica. It moves as a whole in the main, crunching the small plates in the Caribbean and Central America as it does so, and popping the plate holding the Galapagos Islands, which lie just to the west of South America. It can move, in short. But what of the North American plate? The giant plates of North America and Eurasia are locked against each other, unable to rotate against each other due to their shape. slip-slide along the west coast, measured as a creep by geologists, is due only to slight adjustments along that edge of the plate, primarily due to adjustments within the small plates to the west of the North American plate, which moves to accommodate pressure. The North American plate does not move per se, but other dramas occur. We explained in May of 2004, months before it expressed enough to show up on the IRIS charts, the Earth torque, caused as the North Pole continued to rotate to the east while the South Pole was held back by Planet X, tending to open the globe like a jar of pickles. This creates a diagonal stress on the North American continent where New England is pulled to the east while Mexico is pulled to the west, so the New Madrid is put under the slip-slide stress where one half, east of the Mississippi, will move toward the northeast, while the other, west of the Mississippi, moves toward the southwest. The virtual hook of land in the North American continent near the Kamchatka Peninsula is solid rock and will not snap off to become a separate land plate, nor would this ease the deadlock along the North American and Eurasian plates, even if it did. These massive plates cannot move. The stress on the North American plate will resolve by ripping the St. Lawrence Seaway open, pulling the southeast down into the crumbling Caribbean and into the widening Atlantic, as neither of these sinking fronts will be able to support the edge of the weighty North American plate. There is pressure along the west coast, of course, and as the North American plate confronts the compressing Pacific, this will only result in the predictable volcanic increases and west coast earthquakes. But the primary drama preceding the pole shift will be the ripping action that a plate unable to move must endure. The notable area of catastrophe during this is the eastern half of the continental U.S. From Houston to Chicago to New England, the diagonal pole will tear the underpinnings of cities and create a catastrophe for the U.S. that will make the New Orleans disaster appear trivial. The widening seaway also does not affect just those land masses bordering the seaway, as buckling occurs inland and afar. What does man assume caused the Black Hills to be so rumpled, with the appearance of a recent bucking and heaving? This is the center of a land plate. The tearing of the seaway does not end at Duluth, Minnesota. It travels underground to South Dakota. End of the quote from Zeta Cup. First evidence of this torque on the North American continent occurred in August of 2003, when a massive power outage struck New York City, causing a complete blackout with a million commuters walking home to suburbia silently across the bridge. The cause? A substation at Niagara on the stretching seaway. And I quote from Reuters, August 14, 2003. A New York City official said the Niagara Mohawk power grid overloaded on Thursday, causing a massive power outage. And New York Mayor Michael Bloomberg said it was likely a natural occurrence. A massive power outage swept across lots of the eastern United States and Canada on Thursday, leaving sections of New York, Detroit, Cleveland, and Toronto without electricity. It was not immediately clear whether the Niagara Mohawk problem caused the wider outage. And another quote from AP, also dated August 14, 2003. Canadian officials insisted a massive blackout Thursday across the Northeast and parts of Canada originated in the United States, though U.S. power workers denied that, and American officials blamed Canada. End of the quotes. This was followed by train derailments and bursting gas and water mains and sinkholes and yawing crevices that were suddenly and dramatically in the news. Sinking or lack of support in stretch zones resulted in sinkholes. The incidence of sinkholes in the U.S. alone during the six-month period from April to October 2004 was certainly astonishing. These hit Florida hard, not surprising, as it is at a point, literally, where the pull-down is the most extreme. Detroit and Milwaukee at the end of the St. Lawrence Seaway, yawning. Up the East Coast, through Virginia and into Pennsylvania, a point where sinking and rising land create a break, a snapping of the earth, as land south of Pennsylvania is pulled down, while land north tends to bounce up as the seaway yaws. And into land at the edge of the stretch zone, such as Missouri and Central Canada. And I quote, Missouri Sinkhole, June 9, 2004. To folks around Wildwood, Missouri, it's nothing but freaky. An entire 23-acre lake vanished in a matter of days, as if someone pulled the plug on a bathtub. Lake Chesterfield went down a sinkhole this week, leaving homeowners in this affluent St. Louis suburb wondering if their property values disappeared along with their lakeside views. Milwaukee Sinkhole, June 11, 2004. A Milwaukee street was closed Friday because of a huge sinkhole. The hole at 35th and Juno Streets measures around 40 feet long, 40 feet wide, and 15 feet deep. Florida Sinkhole, June 25, 2004. U.S. 27 was closed Tuesday when the Department of Transportation discovered a giant sinkhole below the surface. The sinkhole was about 20 to 30 feet in diameter. Another Florida sinkhole, July 1, 2004. The discovery of a sinkhole near Highway 100 east of Franklin forced work to stop last week on the city's sewer extension project. Detroit Sinkhole, August 23, 2004. A giant sinkhole in Sterling Heights grew even bigger late Monday morning as repair crews worked to stabilize the ground surrounding it. The hole measured approximately 160 feet long and 60 feet wide. The cavity was estimated to be as deep as 30 feet. Crews could not say what caused the sinkhole. And Scranton, Pennsylvania, September 19, 2004. As the Pittston Avenue sinkhole continues to expand, so does the number of damaged properties in Lackawanna County. Across town in Pittston Avenue, city and state officials met Monday morning to examine the subsidence that swallowed a portion of the road near Brook Street, rupturing a gas line and forcing the evacuation of at least 50 residences. The sinkhole has expanded by about 5 feet and now consumed three-fourths of a two-lane road. Virginia Sinkhole, October 5, 2004. A collector lane at Interstate 81 in Montgomery County was closed Monday because of a sinkhole. Crews will repair the sinkhole by excavating it, filling it with rock, capping it with concrete, and paving over it. Florida Sinkhole, October 14, 2004. A 50-foot-wide sinkhole opens in couple's backyard. The Fishers were in disbelief when they noticed two 30-foot trees, a shed, and two other citrus trees had been swallowed up by the ground. End of the quote. If trains were derailing due to twisted track and sinkholes appearing suddenly under highways, this was not the only horror afflicting transportation. Roads heaved, bridges dropped, and land slid on top of traffic. Particularly in July 2004, oddly, in three different U.S. states. This shows a relationship to a diagonal pull across the U.S. happening at that time. And I quote, Kansas Road Pop, July 13, 2004. Sweltering heat caused road to rise 5 inches, crack, and blow up. Experts say the crack is unusual because the heat-related breaks typically occur in concrete as opposed to asphalt. Illinois Heaving Road, July 29, 2004. A block of road was in normal condition last week, but since then it has risen 3 or 4 inches out of the ground. Now, traffic is blocked off in that area. The city engineer's office say they still don't know what's causing the road to rise up. Pennsylvania Quarry, July 29, 2004. A huge chunk of earth surrounding a quarry collapsed overnight. Deep crevices can be seen right on the shoulder of the roadway. The cause of the collapse is under investigation. And a Denver I-70 overpass, May 15, 2004. I-70 is closed in both directions at CE-470 after a steel girder collapsed onto the eastbound lanes of I-70 and landed on an SUV. The girder weighed several tons. The girder was put up as part of a project to widen the ramp that leads to I-70. End of the quotes. This twisting of the North American continent involves New England pulled to the east, along with the rotation of the Earth, and Mexico in the southwest pulled to the west, as the South Pole was being tugged in that direction. This opened crevasses in the southwest. This was not due to compression or subduction of plates, but due to the stretch, the land in these areas being pulled apart on a diagonal. These southern crevasses were not associated with any particular earthquake, but they were associated with road pops from Kansas to Illinois to Pennsylvania. Again, in July 2004. Mexico Crevasse, June 29, 2004. Huge mile-long crevasse opens along fault in western Mexico. A gaping mile-long crevasse opened early Tuesday along what officials described as a geological fault line in western Mexico. The crevasse reportedly opened without warning early Wednesday. It stretches about 1 mile across farm fields in the sparsely populated area in Zapopan, a suburb of the western city of Guadalajara. It is as much as 15 feet wide in some places. And another quote, Arizona crevasse, July 14, 2004. Quarter-mile-long fissure opens north of Wilcox. Authorities today are investigating the cause of a fissure north of Wilcox that spans a quarter mile and is up to 5 feet wide at some points. The fissure was discovered Wednesday morning by a resident who told Cochise County Sheriff's deputies that he awoke to loud rumblings and cracklings overnight. He found a fissure near his home that officials say appears to be expanding. Authorities do not know how deep the fissure is, but a spokeswoman for the Sheriff's Department said it's too deep to see the bottom. Wilcox is about 80 miles east of Tucson. End of the quote. Sinking land in the stretch zone very much affects gas and water mains running under streets, and a rash of reports emerged as Planet X tightened its grip on the Earth. During the 6 months reporting period from April to October 2004, pipes were snapping all across the stretch zone like never before. And I quote, Atlanta explosion, August 23, 2004. Georgia power crews continued working Monday afternoon to repair underground power lines in downtown Atlanta that exploded overnight, sending manhole covers flying into the air. An official with Georgia Power said such explosions are not common. The force of the blast sent 3 50-pound manhole covers into the air. And another quote, Boston tunnel leak, September 15, 2004. Gridlock ensued when water began leaking into the northbound lanes of the tunnel at one of its deepest points. The tunnel carries Interstate 93 through the city. The leak occurred in a portion of the wall which had been in place for 10 years. And another, Buffalo water main, September 20, 2004. A water main break in Buffalo early this morning has shut down part of Chippewa Street. Water bubbling up from the break flooded the area and caused parts of Chippewa to buckle. As the area began to resemble a lake, police blocked off intersections and water crews were summoned to the scene. And another, Virginia main break, October 22, 2004. The crack extended about 3/4 across on the bottom, which indicated that it was a stress crack caused by the earth movement. The earth shifted, and deep below the surface, a water line bent and cracked. And another from Boston. Boston main break, October 29, 2004. City officials said a 36-inch water main gave way, shooting a high-pressure jet of water underground and clearing away the dirt and sand under the road. The hole stretched nearly across Perkins Avenue and was at least 15 feet deep. The Department of Waterworks commissioner said he was unsure what caused the 36-inch pipe to let go. End of the quote. By June 2005, scientists were openly admitting they were concerned about the New Madrid fault. and I quote from an AP article dated June 22, 2005. U.S. scientists reporting in the British science journal Nature on Thursday say the New Madrid seismic zone is deforming rapidly, experiencing rates of strain that are similar to those in notoriously active plate boundaries. And another quote from the Live Science website. New data confirms strong earthquake risk to central U.S. This also dated June 22, 2005. Strain is building on a fault near Memphis, Tennessee, that was the site of a magnitude 8.1 earthquake in 1812. Such a strong earthquake would rock the entire eastern half of the country and prove devastating to the local region. In a three-month period in 1811 to 1812, three major earthquakes rattled a broad expanse of the United States, causing damage as far away as Charleston, South Carolina, and even rattling nerves in Boston. The quakes triggered landslides into the Mississippi River, and according to some boaters who were not drowned, sent parts of the river running in the other direction for a time. The earthquakes were centered around New Madrid, Missouri. They measured 8.1, 8.0, and 7.8, and represented three of the four strongest earthquakes ever recorded in the lower 48 states. Sandy soil in some areas became liquefied in past events. This tendency for the soil east of the Rockies to liquefy, along with other differences in geology, means earthquakes there pack more potential for damage and are felt over a much wider region than western tremblers. End of the quotes. A few months later, in September of 2005, a mysterious smell like rotting cabbage or the cat's litter box wafted across the U.S., primarily in the eastern half. And I quote, Bel-Air, Ohio, strange smell, September 20th, 2005. A mysterious smell has been lingering around numerous neighborhoods in one local community, and now residents want to know where that odor is coming from and if it's dangerous. And another, Central Texas, strange odor prompts school evacuation, dated September 22nd, 2005. And another, Washington Post, mysterious stench nauseates northeast, dated September 30th, 2005. And another, L.A. Times, mysterious stench swirls around city, dated September 22nd, 2005. And so it went across the Southland, as some detected strong odors from the coast to the valley. Workplaces and weblogs were buzzing with descriptions comparing the smell to old socks, rotting cabbage soup, moldy wet wallboard, and the cat's litter box. And another, Thunder Bay, Canada, strange smell in Lalaque, dated September 22, 2005. Municipal officers are urging Lalaque residents to exercise caution as they investigate reports of gasoline-type odors in the town's sewer system. And another, Washington, D.C. affiliate, mystery odors reported around district, dated September 28, 2005. Students returned to class Wednesday afternoon at two adjacent schools in northeast Washington, but the mystery continues over what caused the odor that had led to evacuations. And another, Greenville, South Carolina, workers sickened at downtown Greenville building, dated September 29, 2005. A foul smell at a downtown Greenville building sickened several workers and forced an evacuation. Four people were sent to Greenville Memorial Hospital for treatment of nausea. And yet another, Lake Erie burps and nearby residents smell it, dated September 30, 2005. State and federal environmental officials are trying to determine the cause of a big stink reported along Lake Erie. Hundreds of residents called authorities of the National Weather Service yesterday to report the smell, which has been variously described as like gasoline, natural gas, or even decaying garbage and rotten eggs. End of the quote. The cause, per the Zetas, was methane gas released when rock fingers were pulled apart, releasing gases from rotting material trapped between rock layers. And I quote from Zeta Talk, Stretch Stench, written October 1st, 2005. We have gone into great detail on what occurs in the stretch zones along the Atlantic, which includes the Southeast United States and the St. Lawrence Seaway, and warned recently that the stretch would accelerate and be exacerbated by the torque effect, which is twisting the North American continent at a diagonal, pulling New England to the east and Mexico to the west. The overall effect of these forces is to drag the southeastern U.S. down along a line from Pennsylvania to Texas, to pull the continent diagonally, and to ease stress on the west coast, as can be shown by IRIS charts indicating reduced earthquake incidents along the west coast, compared to the rest of the Ring of Fire. What happens to rock layers under a diagonal pull, or being pulled apart? As can be seen during recent years, this has resulted in derailing trains, sinkholes suddenly appearing, gas and water main breaks, torn roadways and separating bridges. Despite the effect on man, crawling about on the surface of what they assume to be terra firma, these changes are superficial. When the pulling starts, weak points break, and thereafter the plumbing and roadways hold, giving the impression that the pulling has stopped. But this is misleading. The North American continent is giving evidence that its rock layers are separating from each other and sliding sideways in a diagonal, thus exposing portions of these layers to vent into the air above. If rock is being stressed, then where are the earthquake predictors giving evidence of this? The frantic animals, the static on the radio, the earthquake swarms. Rock in the stretch zone, pulled apart rather than compressing, does not emit the particle flows that animals and radios sense, nor register on instruments as tension and release quakes. What lies beneath mankind's civilization, waiting to be exposed? More than rock and trapped oil and coal deposits, though these may vent during stretching. More than trapped volcanic gases, perhaps trapped for some eons since the rock was hardened or breached during previous upheavals. There is also, surprisingly, rotting material, trapped when extreme stress on the surface created yawing that swallowed surface material, or when rock layers rolled over each other to sandwich such material between rock layers. Exposed to the degree that venting upward into the air can occur, these smells are solid evidence that the rock layers below are adjusting. Since the concept of the stretch zone behavior as precursor to the pole shift was introduced by ourselves, the Zetas, and the detailed description of the torque of the North American continent was made by ourselves months before it expressed on the IRIS charts, we can only say, as Nancy is fond of saying, Zeta's right again. End of the quote from Zeta Talk. In early 2006, there was additional evidence that the North American continent was being put under stress, pulled in a diagonal. Within a two-week period, mining accidents from Canada to Mexico occurred in a line parallel to one that could be drawn from Maine to Mexico, the stress line that the Zetas have described. The first was in the Sago mines of West Virginia, then another in Ontario, Canada, followed by a rare disaster in Mexico. And I quote, "Workers try to reach trapped Mexico miners," dated February 20, 2006. Rescue workers were burrowing through the debris, clogging a Mexican coal mine early Monday in a desperate effort to reach some 65 miners who were trapped for more than a day by a gas explosion. A federal labor official told reporters during a news conference at the site that officials found nothing unusual during a routine evaluation on February 7. Last month, 14 miners died in two separate accidents at mines in West Virginia in the United States. Two men died in a fire January 21st at a mine in Melville, nearly 3 weeks after 12 men died after an explosion near Talsmanville. In Canada last month, 72 potash miners walked away from an underground fire and toxic smoke after being locked down overnight in airtight chambers packed with enough oxygen, food, and water for several days. End of the quotes. Methane gas was suspected in all cases, although a constant source of worry. Why the sudden rash of explosions across the continent and along a diagonal line parallel to what the Zetas have described? Coincidence? If so, coincidentally, Maine was reporting odd methane bubbles off their coast, and I quote, University of Maine geologists reported in December in the Portland Press Herald, December 26, 2005, that dozens of methane fields off the coast of Maine were releasing large amounts of gas, disrupting the ocean floor and creating massive bubbles. End of the quote. July 2006, Cleveland, Ohio was reporting quake swarms. Accompanying this was another blackout caused by problems in what is called the Lake Erie Loop, the stretching seaway, added again. And I quote, an earthquake every 2 weeks? It's happening near Cleveland. This dated July 13, 2006. Without damage or injury, and sometimes unnoticed, a corner of suburban Cleveland has become the earthquake capital of Ohio, shaking on average every 2 weeks since New Year's Day and making people wonder, what's next? Earthquake experts don't know why the rapidity of quakes have come at this time. Eye-catching series of earthquakes, measuring from magnitude 2 to 3.8. And from another article, CNN, dated July 21, 2003, power returns to most areas hit by blackout. New York State was facing the largest blackout in history of America and had lost more than 85% of power in New York State. The exact cause remains unknown, but indications so far point to a downed 345,000-volt power line east of Cleveland, Ohio, on the Lake Erie Loop, a series of transmission lines round the lake. End of the quotes. Then on September 10, 2006, a rare quake in the Gulf of Mexico on a fault line the USGS was unaware existed. And I quote, Gulf quake felt from Louisiana to Florida. The largest earthquake to strike the eastern Gulf of Mexico in the last 30 years sent shockwaves from Louisiana to southwest Florida Sunday, but did little more than rattle residents. The magnitude 6 quake, centered around 260 miles southwest of Tampa, was too small to trigger a tsunami or dangerous waves. The USGS received more than 2,800 reports from people who felt the 10:56 a.m. quake. Scientists said it was the largest and most widely felt of more than a dozen earthquakes recorded in the region in 3 decades. The most prevalent vibration, which lasted for about 20 seconds, was felt on the Gulf Coast of Florida and in southern Georgia. But residents in Alabama, Mississippi, and Louisiana also called in reports. The epicenter is an unusual location for earthquake activity, but scientists recorded a magnitude 5.2 trembler in the same location on February 10. This trembler was unusual because it was not centered on a known fault line. End of the quote. The Zetas related this to stress on the North American continent and the pending New Madrid diagonal rift. And I quote from Zeta Talk, written September 16, 2006, on the Godlike Production live chat. We have stated that the New Madrid fault line will give way soon in a diagonal pull not predicted by the experts, as they discount the torque the North American plate is currently subjected to. New England goes east along with the Earth's rotation, but Mexico is tugged back toward the west when the South Pole is tugged by Planet X. This Earth torque was predicted by ourselves 9 months prior to the December 26, 2004 tsunami quake in Sumatra, and has shown up on the IRIS charts ever since. The diagonal pull on the New Madrid will cause the land east of the Mississippi to slide northeast, and land west of the Mississippi to slip southwest, tearing many of the bridges across the Mississippi. As the fault lines known by man are those that have recently adjusted during the quiet times between full shifts, it comes as a shock to find new fault lines in the center of the plate. And even more shocking that large quakes are occurring there. This is only the start of New Madrid activity, which has also caused quake swarms in the southeast U.S. and torn the land in the southwest and Mexico into crevasses. Just when it will hit, we will not say, as by the rules we are placed under by the Council of Worlds, we are not allowed to warn the public. End of the quote from Zeta Talk. This was followed by more adjustments in New England, which is scheduled to rise some 400 feet above sea level during the coming pole shift. And I quote, "The tiny New England states are grouped at the end of what will become increasingly a peninsula of land due to the widening of the St. Lawrence Seaway and the melting poles. The land is rocky and will rise some 450 feet by our estimate above the current level due to the land being freed from its current connections during the continental rip." End of the quote from Zeta Talk's Safe Locations. Quake swarms continued in Maine, with a dramatic drop in the water level and wells at the USGS site. And I quote, "Maine quake causes dramatic drop in well water level, dated October 3, 2006. A minor earthquake that shook parts of Maine at 8:07 p.m. local time Monday caused water to drop 2.5 feet at a USGS monitoring well. Nearly 17 hours later, the water level was still dropping. Hydrologists call the change in the well dramatic. The preliminary magnitude 3.9 earthquake was the third such event to shake the state in the past few weeks. A magnitude 2.5 quake on September 28th and a magnitude 3.4 on September 22nd were centered in the same location." End of the quotes. Per the Zetas, all these are clues that the New Madrid does not have long to go before it gives way, allowing the diagonal slip along the Mississippi that the Zetas have predicted. And a quote again from Zeta Talk, from the Godlike Production live chat, this one written October 7, 2006. "Periodically, during the North American plate rip taking place steadily, there's evidence that rock fingers are being pulled apart, fault lines slip sliding past each other, and land rising or dropping. During 2004 and into 2005, there was seemingly endless reports of water and gas mains breaking, sinkholes developing, and bridges and roadways buckling in the stretch zone. Crevasses occurred suddenly in Mexico and the southwest. In the fall of 2005, there was a stretch stench noted across the continent, from moldering soil pockets suddenly exposed to the air and releasing methane gas. During a two-week period, mining disasters occurred at the Sago Mine in West Virginia, eastern Canada, and Mexico, all trapping miners in well-publicized rescue operations. Methane gas was again the prime culprit. Blackouts along the seaway are blamed on a single failure creating a domino effect, but the station at Niagara, along the seaway, has been the culprit repeatedly. Quake swarms occur near Cleveland, Ohio, pointing to the separating seaway as the source. Now quakes in the Gulf at a previously unknown fault, and in Maine, with result that the water level is either falling or the land rising. Why do these events seem to come and then go, if the stretch is continuous? The answer lies in what holds the fabric together. The part of the rock strata preventing the stretch or torque from occurring is put under stress until it snaps. Then movement occurs. What might be termed soft structures snap when movement is first allowed. Thus, gas and water mains, long considered structurally sound, snapped when the first movement occurred, and soft soil adjustments, such as crevasses or sinkholes, likewise occurred. Once these soft areas have adjusted, this type of activity seems to stop, but the fault lines are still sliding and rock fingers are still separating. Maine and the New England area will rise significantly when the seaway rips, as we have stated. As all precursor quakes during the time going into the shift proceed along the scripted drama that will occur during the shift itself, the New England area can expect to rise as adjustments occur in the North American continent. Thus, the water level falls. End of the quote from Zeta Talk. state of the devastation will make the New Orleans disaster appear trivial. New Orleans, after all, was another disaster waiting to happen, not a surprise. It was only a matter of time. For the New Madrid disaster, affecting cities from Houston to St. Louis to Kansas City to Memphis, to Cincinnati to Chicago, and parts in between, the number of people left suddenly homeless will be immense compared to New Orleans. These cities are not quake-proofed, as is the norm on the West Coast. Let's look at the New Orleans disaster for a preview of what to expect, insofar as rescue attempts. And I quote from Zeta Talk, New Orleans, written September 2, 2005. We have described, from the start of Zeta Talk, a situation where the coastlines and river basins will be massively flooded during the pole shift, to the extent that coastal cities are flooded with a flood tide that just keeps rising, putting homes and the lower levels of buildings underwater. All this seems fantasia to many, despite the physical evidence that such flood tides have happened in the past. Where New Orleans flooded because it was below the current sea level, and where the flooding of the city is not to the extent we have described for the pole shift, it nonetheless is an example of how water and wind can wreck a city and make all the former residents homeless in a wink. Add to the mess in New Orleans the fact of tall buildings toppled by earthquakes and people trapped in earthquake rubble, and you have the picture of what is to come. We have described from the start of Zeta Talk a situation where the grid, electrical power, and phone lines will be almost completely disrupted. Water and gas mains ruptured with no hope of repair, the result of an assault by earthquake, water wash during flooding, and hurricane-force winds. Many sitting comfortably in their homes dismiss such a possibility, as surely the modern technology they have come to enjoy will be able to quickly repair itself, as is this not the case after an ice storm or earthquake now? Where the disruption in New Orleans is due to flooding and winds, without the addition of quake damage, the total interruption of services for those trapped in New Orleans is certainly evident. Pumps down, gas line breaks, water fouls, and no electricity. We have described from the start of Zeta Talk the anticipated effects of denial among those not willing to acknowledge the need for making changes in their lives, to the extent that they refuse to make any changes or take any steps toward taking themselves to safety. This despite mounting evidence that their survival will be tenuous if they do not take such steps. Where the depth of this denial, affecting a large portion of the population, seems incredulous, this is precisely what has occurred in New Orleans. Given orders to evacuate by the authorities, many chose to remain, comforting themselves by denying the possibility of harm. This denial was evident among the rich as well as the poor, among vacationers remaining in fancy hotels, as well as no place to go but the hovel that was their permanent home. We have described from the start of Zeta Talk the reaction of the rich and powerful to the threat of accelerating earth changes, that being that they would suppress talk of this in the media in order to maintain the status quo, keeping the common man at their stations, at their jobs, and being consumers until the last. Where such treatment of the common man is nothing new, what occurred going into the assault on New Orleans or the Gulf Coast? Known to be unsafe, below sea level, or potentially in the path of such monstrous storms, housing and industry and commercial ventures were funded and encouraged. Encouraging the status quo instead of championing an alternative, such as moving enterprises and people inland, occurred. We have warned from the start of Zeta Talk that self-sufficiency, rather than relying on government handouts or camps, was absolutely key to survival after the pole shift, as rescue would not be forthcoming and camps would become work or perhaps death camps, ultimately. To those clinging to the comforting thought of the government as a substitute parent, or to those working for the government, this is dismissed as bad advice. But what has occurred in New Orleans? First, everyone is marched into the Superdome, where bad water and lack of food is compounded by crowding. Bad move, and not the last bad move, as now the crowd is being relocated yet again, where more disappointments from government services are likely to result. We have emphasized from the start of Zeta Talk the need to distill drinking water to clean not only germs but pollutants, such as heavy metals. As the pole shift will create a cesspool of industrial wastes where these are stored in tanks or produced, and exploding volcanoes will put lead into surface water as the volcanic ash drifts and lands far and wide. Most often, our admonitions result in a lot of discussion about water filtration systems, as though these will be handy and replacement parts available. Distilling water is time-consuming, a multi-step operation, and thus tiresome to even think about. But what has happened in New Orleans? Suddenly, drinking water is not available, and the knowledge about how to clean the water is being discussed in the media. Of course, those living in the cesspool can't hear these discussions and are drinking dirty water. If these citizens had been told how to clean their water beforehand, with what they had at hand, all manner of problems would have been avoided. We have described from the start of Zeta Talk that the expectation of a return to normalcy would hinder adjustments after the pole shift, as many would simply sit and wait for rescue. There would be no rescue, and normalcy would not return, as the broken link rule would prevail. Where the pole shift will put the entire world in a crisis mode, such that any emergency response team is overextended, this was certainly seen in the microcosm of the New Orleans disaster, where the disaster was only regional. Despite decades of planning, FEMA failed once again. Yes, they were handed surprises, such as the failing levee system, soaked beyond endurance, so the soil surrounding the narrow tops eroded. The city cannot be drained because the pumps are underwater. Broken link one. Looters and gangs are stopping rescue efforts because police efforts were not supported by the missing New Orleans reserves, who were, of course, stationed in Iraq. Broken link two. End of the quote from Zeta Talk. So here's an example. And if the slipping of the New Madrid will be worse than the disaster of New Orleans, affecting more cities and a wider area, and dropping land west of the Mississippi so flooding occurs there, are all these cities more prepared? Those in the wake of the pending New Madrid quake, beware and get prepared.
President of Troubled Times Incorporated. We're a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping mankind survive during troubled times when self-sufficiency may be the only answer. Our organization offers a twin set CD of survival information at cost to the public. The CDs are in hypertext and PDF format, two popular browser formats, and contain all the information collected by the massive Troubled Times website. The CDs allow you to browse this information offline at your leisure. The cost of the twinned pair is $4.10, and this includes postage. You can also get the survival booklet, a hip-sized booklet of the gift of the Troubled Times advice, for just $5, including postage. We offer a popular combo package for $7.50 that includes both the CDs and the booklet with the lower postage expense reflected in that price. Send for your copies today to start making practical plans for your and your family's survival. Just click on the $4.10 CD link at www.zetatalk.com, and your copy will be on its way.
That concludes our broadcast. Thank you for being with us. Remember to carry love in your heart. It's the commodity of the future. As the Zetas say, love may have a blooming going into the shift, as it ought, those with great love in their hearts responding to the realization that little else matters.